Good morning to Burton Fitzsimmons. And now, Burton, I'm going to ask you to. That's good. If you, I got to see both of your eyeballs here.
You got it.
And so I want to know everything. What is, I mean, when you were here last a few months ago, you were telling us that the hot summer would depend on how much rain we got and what would El Nino be doing. And if we kept El Nino around for a while, we'd get a lot of rain. Well, heaven's sake, look what happened since then.
No kidding.
And we've had like record, all-time record rainfall, I believe, in Texas. Hasn't it been just as records?
Heaviest open. 1 year of rainfall that we'd ever had here in Central Texas. So yeah, absolutely, the El Nino did what we thought it would do. It brought us some very wet conditions. They didn't hit immediately in winter, but wet fall, wet spring, and that so far has meant good stuff for us because we haven't gotten up to that century mark yet.
No, usually by 4th of July we're there, but it's not.
This is one. Yeah, last 2 years we've actually held off until July. In fact, right around the holiday before we hit our first 100. And looks like, I hate to say it, looks like we're going to be really close this 4th.
What they're saying 100. Was 98 is what I saw in the forecast. So maybe that'll happen. But because it's getting a little bit warmer every day and the moisture is leaving the ground, you can see some of the trees that's starting to, hey, wait a minute, we're not getting as much water as we did just a little bit ago. So
they were looking so good too. They have been, all the vegetation and the lakes and just everything around us. What a recovery, right?
And just a couple of years ago, they were saying the lakes would never be full again.
I know.
I mean, it was just a couple or 3 years ago. They said, no, it's finished. The lakes are done.
I almost fell out of my chair when I heard the state climatologist say that.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are. I'm glad to say that that forecast was wrong. And, you know, it's an art and a science, this meteorology thing. But I'm glad to say that we are back on the positive side of things. You know, it's been 24 days, though, John, since we've had a tenth of an inch or greater. And as you say, that the lawn's getting a little crunchy again.
Right.
So today's forecast is just a dream come true to have
20 to 50% chance for showers.
Tell you what, this weak little front and a front in June to early July, you know, they just really don't have a lot of impact. And sometimes they just don't even make it down to the Gulf Coast. But we think this one's going to.
Wow.
So it's right now traveling up around Texarkana and down past I-20. So a little bit later today, right at about the hottest time of day.
4 o'clock.
That's when we're thinking. Yeah, we're thinking actually maybe right after lunch up north.
Right.
And then this afternoon could even be a few strong storms here. So
really?
Bring on the rain.
Let's look forward to that one. And, you know, as far as the forecast goes, you looked into what they say is going to happen in a week. You don't know what's going to happen in a week, as you say, what meteorology is an art and a science. So tell us something about that aspect of meteorology,
sure,
being an art and a science. Explain.
In many ways, I think especially broadcast meteorology is an art and a science because we literally have to draw cold fronts on the map. People might be surprised to hear, but I actually go in and have to be at the studio at 3:30 in the morning every morning. And
I thought I had it bad.
So I miss a few sunsets during the work week, that's for sure. But we do have to get up early to prepare the forecast. And I actually do make the forecast that you see on Time Warner Cable News. I put it together by hand. I do use the guidance from the Weather Service and from the tea leaves and any source I can get it. And that's what kind of makes it the art. Mm-hmm. Because I have to use my own wisdom and experience, having been born and raised here in this part of the world. I have a little bit more idea of what we're used to seeing and some of those indicators. So I use that, and I guess, again, that's kind of the art, pulling together the numbers, but also pulling together the intuition.
When that football knee starts to tell you, wait, what's going on here?
The pressure changes. Yeah, exactly. You can feel it coming. You can feel it coming sometimes, literally. Mm-hmm. So looking out into the future, though, John, I'll tell you this. We've seen the El Nino completely flatline. So it's adios El Nino and hola La Nina. And right
which
now we're in the
dry.
Which, yeah, generally means drier for us. And right now we're kind of in between. We're in that La Nada or neutral zone,
now,
if
that's
you will.
The first time I've heard that one. So
well, that's an unofficial one, but
I like it, though.
La Nada puts us right there where we're neither in El Nino nor La Nina. So we're kind of in the in between, but what we're looking at is the waters of the Pacific after having been really warm up through November, the peak. They've gradually been cooling back off.
Right.
And you might think, well, wait, we're at summer in the Northern Hemisphere and the waters are cooling off, but that's the case. And it's a big cycle, a multi-year cycle. And what we think is going to happen is by fall, we'll actually be into a weak La Nina, which we think is probably going to mean some drier conditions into the fall months. In fact, the latest long-range outlook from NOAA says warmer than normal, starting up especially August, September, October. So the fall.
Oh, no.
I know. In August, typically, it's our hottest month of the year, yeah. So that's not what we like to hear.
So warmer than normal means 115.
Oh, let's not go there.
No, no,
112 is our all-time high, and I would love to keep that as the record for now until the end of time.
I still remember when that paper came out, and it was I had it on the wall for a long time. It was like back in 2001.
Or that's right, like that. September 2001.
That's it, and it was like, you know, right before the Twin Towers went down.
Literally, I think it was a week before. You're right about that.
Yeah, because I had just put it up on the wall because it said an all-time record, 112 degrees. Yeah. And there was a picture of George Bush on the cover, and then there was the Twin Towers. So, you know, that was a long time ago, but really, that's 15 years ago.
That is a long time. Again, in 2011, our hottest summer ever, we also grazed 112. So we've done it twice in a 15-year period.
Good,
not good, yeah.
Let's not do it again.
Now, that year we had 100-degree days. If you can imagine, almost virtually every day of summer was at 100 or hotter. And we went all the way through mid-September with 100-degree weather that year. I don't think that's going to happen.
You're frightening
summer.
People who just moved here.
I'm letting you know the truth. Yeah, you know, summer is a shocker for all those folks that have just moved in here. It takes a lot for your body to acclimate, even for those of us who are used to it,
right,
to get back into the
right,
the hot routine.
Right. It's always, you know, I still haven't felt that really hot yet. It's on the edge, but it hasn't been there yet. I think the humidity has been horrific, but since all that rain, it was just been terrible the last month and a half. But it's like the humidity is starting to go away a little bit. It comes and goes.
It sure does.
What's the humidity doing like today, do you think?
Today, it's a little bit lower, actually, and that's why this morning we see a virtually clear sky. We don't have that low-level moisture, so we actually got back into the 60s in a few spots this morning.
Really?
Which we haven't done, a lot of in the last few weeks. A couple of weeks ago, we had enough humidity, though, to get that heat index above 105. And that's where, like you say, you really start to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, unfortunately, that's about where we're going to be heading into here in the next few weeks.
Oh, no.
What we're also looking at, though, John, as and you alluded to this, how the soil moisture is just very slowly disappearing. So if we recharge today, if we get more moisture into that soil today, it can help hold back the temperatures. And here's something I want to throw out at you. Did you know that the sun heats the ground and then the ground warms the air? The sun does not directly warm the air.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's why if the ground
is
dry,
the ground.
Then we can more rapidly warm up that air because there's nothing that is really impeding it. If there's moisture in the ground, the sun's energy is used to evaporate the moisture before it warms up the air. So we can
Did you hear that, people? That is important information.
Yes.
Explain that one more time so
again,
people get it.
The sun warms the ground and the ground warms the air. So think about this. When we remove vegetation and put down blacktop or a white concrete, think of what that does to our local atmosphere. It literally changes it. Not only do we worry about impervious ground cover when it comes to flooding, but it actually can make it hotter, John.
Oh, are you kidding? I walk out of the Cherrywood Coffee House on the way across the blacktop to my car. It hasn't been there quite yet, but it will be. And it can be scorching crossing that blacktop. But if you just go across the street to where the trees are, it's cool, amazingly cool, and because there's regular ground and grass and things. So that makes a whole lot of sense to me. Thanks for that information.
Absolutely.
Plus the runoff can create flooding and all that kind of stuff.
For sure.
It does rain. And let's hope it does rain today.
We need it.
So it's looking like it's going to be a possible, cooling off today with some rain and any guess it amounts if it does.
If we got a few thunderstorms like a few of the models were showing this morning, there could even be some half-inch plus totals, which would be fantastic. Not everybody guaranteed to get a drop, so it's one of those situations we're going to have to watch. And
tell us, this is one of the things that I think is confusing to a lot of people. What does percentage precipitation mean?
Now we dig into statistics. It's the probability of precipitation. So that's a fancy way of saying the chance of rain where you are today. Mm-hmm. So we look at the entire, what I would call my viewing area, mm-hmm. or our central Texas coverage area. So out of this entire area, if we think there is a certain chance of rain up north and no chance of rain down south, it might be then a 50% rain chance.
Right.
That doesn't mean that 50% of the people are necessarily going to get rain. It's that there's a 50% chance that in this area,
right,
there will be some measurable rainfall. So there's two components. It's how confident are we in the rain chance and how much of the area do we think we'll get rain.
So when we look at the forecast for Austin and vicinity from the National Weather Bureau, what is the size of the area that they're talking about for the percentage probability for rain?
They're talking about a pretty good chunk, including much of the Edwards Plateau going out west, and they look all the way down south to San Antonio. Mm-hmm. But if you go into their new forecast, the website, and you click on it, it's what they call a point forecast. Then they narrow it down really to the hyperlocal area.
Okay, on this website, the one I use.
Weather.gov, that's it. You got it.
This is the one. So now, what would I do to get the more specific forecast? You say
I think you're there. At the bottom, on the bottom right, there's a little map. And if you click in that map, it will change the forecast based on whatever point you click.
Well, let's see what it does.
So if you click in another area, it should automatically change to the forecast.
My
data.
Goodness, just for that area.
Just look for that area.
It just did it. It just did it.
So we're getting a little bit better at becoming more hyperlocal. The new models now go out every hour, out to 5 days.
Gosh, Burton, that looks really good. Of course, it turns out it's still 20 to 50% chance for showers. And a high, but change the high back down to 94 instead of 95.
Which would make a big difference.
Yeah. And yesterday, I think it was like about 93 or 94, wasn't it?
We hit 96 at Mayberry,
actually.
Oh, you
did? So wow.
It was hot. I think so far this year, 97 has been our hottest.
And people, I cannot tell you the importance of planting trees in your yard.
Oh, yes.
Because I've got 3 big Schumert oaks that I planted 32 years ago. And they are enormous now, and they're on the west side of my house, and they shade that afternoon sun. And when I get home and I drive under my carport and I get out and I stand under those trees, it feels relatively cool, even in the middle of the 4 or 5 o'clock hour. So I recommend plant big trees. Make sure you plant good ones, too.
Great idea.
Burton, anything else?
Hey, make sure your pets are protected.
Explain.
And don't leave kids or pets in a car this time of year. For those folks who are new to the area here, car literally can become an oven, going from near 100 degrees to around 140 degrees internally in just 10 minutes. So we just want to throw that out there. And also know that the pets, when they walk on that blacktop, that can scald their paws. So make sure you think about your four-legged friends as well.
That's important information, but especially about leaving kids in the car. Do not do it.
Absolutely.
Especially with the windows closed. But if you leave the windows open, somebody can steal your kids. So just don't leave them in the car. Period.
Either way.
Okay. Thanks, Burton Fitzsimmons. You are a wonderful guy.
It's
love
my pleasure.
Talking to you. And we'll be meeting up a little bit into the future and finding out what's going on in the fall and into the winter.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much. I really, really love that you came in. You can find Burton Fitzsimmons on Time Warner Channel to be telling you all about the weather all the time. And what are the channels that's on television?
We're on Channel 8 or 200 on cable. And, of course, I'm on KUT every morning.
Hey, so tell us what time you're on KUT.
Around 7:20 and also around 8:20 every morning with the forecast.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.